God. God is so good. Praise God, isn't he? Amen. God is good all the time. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, let's get started. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to come before your awesome throne, before your throne of love and kindness and mercy and grace. Father, as family, as your children, it is our honor to come before you. Lord, we set our love upon you this morning. We set our thoughts and our spirit man upon you. And we ask you, Father, for revelation knowledge of your word. We ask you, Father, that you impart to us into our spirit man a revelation of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, of who you really are. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, we love you and we praise you. Well, today we're going to talk about a road. You know, I guess you know what a road is, don't you? Well, all roads lead to the cross, whether you think so or not. All roads of life lead to the cross. Today we're celebrating Palm Sunday, and that, or the triumphant entry, which is really a starting point for Jesus on his last days to the cross. Now, that's not where it began at. That's not where his journey began. But it was the last time that he was going to come into Jerusalem. He'd been to Jerusalem many, many times before. He'd been there as a child. He'd been there with his parents. He'd been to the temple many, many times before. But this one was different. But all those previous times that he was there was another milestone in his journey to the cross. But his journey to the cross did not stop with the cross, did it? His journey continued through the cross and beyond. He was nearing the end of a milestone. That milestone started with a few things as he entered. Now, the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, did not know what was going on. They had a different, completely different idea. As they were expecting him to go to the place of government, to the head of government, to Herod and to Pontius Pilate, and to bring down the government that was in those days, to bring down Rome. But that was not the government he was setting up. He makes a turn, and my wife kind of talks about that all the time when she ministers on this. And as he enters into Jerusalem, instead of going to the seat of government, he makes a turn and goes to the temple. They were really mad at their time of the crucifixion because he let them down, basically. They expected him to be their king. They expected that. They didn't understand that he was setting up a kingdom, but it was a higher kingdom. He had to go through the temple to get that kingdom set up. So today we're going to look at roads. All roads, no matter where they lead, have a beginning. All roads have a beginning, don't they? You have a beginning before you start anywhere. So we're going to look at the beginning. Now, there are two different beginnings in the Bible. There's one in Genesis 1, and there's one in John 1. One is a beginning in time. One is a beginning that is the beginning, before there was anything else. There wasn't nothing. There was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is where Jesus' journey began, when there wasn't anything else. There wasn't anything in heaven because heaven, everything in heaven was created. The Bible teaches us that. And then along the line, however long it took, God cuts out a slice, calls it time or a pocket, and that's the beginning in Genesis 1. So we're going to take a look at John 1 because that's the beginning of the journey of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, and the Amplified says, before all time. So this is before Genesis 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even made to being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, absorbed it, appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Let's look at John 1:10. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his dominion, or his domain, his creation, things, world. And they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. That always brings tears to my eyes right there. Verse 12, but to as many as did receive him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. In John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We see several milestones on the journey of Jesus. His journey started at the beginning with God when there wasn't anything else. And there was the part of his journey where he came, became flesh, and dwelt among men. Then we see his journey changing here. He sees his journey, his purpose of his journey was to lead to the cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But in these verses, the reason I chose these verses, if you take time to meditate on them, and we should meditate on these particular verses. In these verses, we'll see the great love that God has for God and man. We'll see the great love that Jesus and his Father had for man, as he submits himself to the Father's will in the cross. We see the journey of Jesus from the beginning with the Father to his birth. Then we see his journey to the cross. We see the journey of Jesus from the cross to hell, where he defeated Satan in the grave. We see the journey of Jesus raising from hell in the grave, ascending to heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We see all that in those verses. Meditate on it, you'll find all of that right there. From the beginning, through the cross, through his resurrection, it's all right in those verses. Because of the great free grace of Heavenly Father and the great sacrifice of Jesus, we see the free gift of eternal life with God through our free will choice. We can also see what happens when someone rejects the free gift of salvation. It's all right there in those few verses. Take time to meditate on them. Get them in your heart. Look at the journey that is there, at the road, the walk that is there. No matter who we are all on a journey. We are all on a journey in life, even if we never go nowhere. Even if we just sit in one place, we're still on a journey. All of us are on our own personal journey to the cross. We are continuously moving from one moment to another, one breath to another, one heartbeat to another, one experience to another, one tick of the clock to another. All of us are. We've moved on our journey from the time we got here till this very moment. We are all, no matter who we all have a path or a road in life to walk out. We are all on a journey of life. Only we can decide where that pathway takes us. All roads and all paths lead to the cross. But there are two separate destinations at the cross. One to eternal life with the Heavenly Father. The other to an eternal hell, separated forever from the loving Heavenly Father. Our choice and only our choice. No one else can make it for us. You and I and only you and I determine which path of the road we are on. And our destination are the final determining factor. God has made a way for us if we choose to take it, while there is still time to take it. We can only make that decision right now in this life. He has provided a bridge for us by the way of the cross to eternal life with God. No matter whether you believe in God or not, all will encounter the cross and the one who hung on it and paid our debt. That is an absolute. He literally paid a debt that he did not owe. He did not owe anything, but he came to pay a debt. Everyone will face the cross. All roads of life lead to the cross. Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account for himself to God. We are all on the road to the cross. All of us. Philippians 2:8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, some will bow their knees because of their great love for the Lord. And as sons and daughters of God, they'll want to bow their knees. Their hearts will be full of joy as they bow in reverence to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But only during this allotted time on earth. That's the only time we can bow. They chose Jesus as their Lord and Savior, bowing their knee willingly of their own free will because they wanted to. They are now reaping the glory and the joy of their new life in Christ. Others will bow because they must. Now, you're going to bow because you want to, or you're going to bow because you must. But every knee will bow. That is an absolute. And believing or not believing does not change that fact. Every knee will bow. You can be an atheist. You can be the meanest man in the world, you're going to bow your knee before the cross. You're going to come to the cross, whether you want to come or whether you do not. All roads of life lead to the cross. All of them, whether you believe or not. Others will bow because they must. They will have to bow as defeated, subjected enemies of God. They will see their God, Satan, bow his knees before the Lord. They will see him thrown into the pit and will have to follow him because they served him instead of making Jesus their Lord and Savior during their allotted time on earth. They chose darkness rather than light. We have to ask ourselves as we're walking through this life, am I choosing darkness or choosing light? Everyone will face the cross. Everyone will bow. Everyone will face the fact that Jesus died for them. There will be no question. In our journey, when we reach the cross, we will all face that cross. We will all face the fact that Jesus died for us. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Everyone will face the fact that their freedom from Satan and damnation was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Everyone will face that fact. They will know that. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 1 John 2:2, Amplified Classic. And he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, not for ours alone, but for also for the sins of the whole world. 1 Timothy 2:4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Died once for all. And that's past, present, and future. Even if we don't exist yet, he still died for us. Even if no one would have accepted it, he died for us. All roads lead to the cross. Everyone will face the great love of the Father God for every man. Ephesians, this is one of my favorites, and I'd love to go off on it, and I have in the past. Ephesians 2:4. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. I've often thought one of the worst parts of hell to me, I'm not going, praise God, and neither are you, but one of the worst parts of hell to me would be knowing that, would be knowing the great, abundant love that the Father has for us, the richness of his love and grace that he gave for me. You know, when you get to the cross in the final moments of your life, you're going to know that. You're going to know that. And when you enter into hell, you're going to know that. That's going to be with you for eternity. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. I have no way out. I have no way out. I have no way out. Think about that. Knowing that verse, you will know, even if you don't believe, you'll know the great love that he had for us. But those that enter in through the cross into heaven and into life with him will have the joy of the fullness of that. All roads lead to the cross. We all will face that cross, but there's two different destinations. One, life with our Father. One, without our Father. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing. God disarmed the principalities, the powers that were arranged against us, and made a bold display, public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. He triumphed over him once for all. Some of us think he goes back to the cross every time somebody gets saved. He doesn't. He doesn't shed more blood every time we need to be healed or for whatever we need in life. He died once for all. Our children, our grandchildren, those that we don't like, Hitler, Mussolini, you can go on down through time. Buddha, Muhammad, he died for all of them. And they all that have passed on before us, they met the cross. Their road of life came to the cross. Whether they liked it, whether they didn't, they came to the cross. Not everyone will enter in, but all will know. And that's the sad thing. All will know. The saddest day of Jesus' life, one minister said, is yet to come. And what he said was, that saddest day is when he has to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. He didn't say he didn't know about them. He never knew them. No relationship. That's the saddest day of Jesus' life. I tend to agree with that. He died for this person. God's love was shed abroad in this person, towards this person. He rejected it. I never knew you. I pray that he doesn't say that to any of us. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. The only one. All roads of life meet at the cross. God is 100% committed to our success. Spirit, soul, financially, body, thought, word, deed, every area of life, God is 100% committed to that. He loves us, folks, and he's made full provision. He doesn't have to run to the warehouse every time we need something and see if he's got it in stock. And if not, does he have time to make it? He doesn't have to do that. He's paid once for all. All provision has been made. Now what he does, he carries out our prayers. He carries out what we desire and pray for, what we ask him for and what we declare. He carries that out, but we're involved in that. If we don't declare it, if we don't pray for it, if we don't ask, then it stays in his warehouse. He can't bring it to us because we're involved. But all provision has been made. That's so awesome, folks. But on the other hand of that, Satan is 100% committed to our defeat. There's not even one time when he takes off. God is 100% committed to our salvation and success. Satan is 100% committed to our defeat. Well, the question is not how committed they are. The real question is how committed we are. That determines which one works. That determines where the ability is, where the path we're on. I have to know that God's 100% committed to me. He has bankrupt heaven for me and for you. He's not even thinking about it. As far as he's concerned, all men are saved. He's drawn all men to himself. All men. But not everybody will come. Not everybody will receive. But Satan is doing everything he can to get us pulled away. He's not stronger unless we make him stronger. He's defeated. We just got done reading that. God, Jesus, triumphed over him completely. Satan's absolutely defeated. How do I see him? How do I see him? What do I think? How committed am I? If I'm committed to God and his word, then that's what's working. If I'm not committed, then the other's working. But one or the other is working. God has already done 100% of what is required for our deliverance and eternal life. He's completed the work. Jesus even said it. He said, it is finished. The jail door is unlocked and open, but each individual person must choose to walk through the door to their freedom. But when the person enters hell and he finds that out, that the jail door was open, I didn't walk through it. What's that going to be like? I don't want to know, honestly. But if you can imagine what that would be like, that's got to be hell itself. Because you can't change it. That's got to be horrible. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Don't you love that verse? But what's the condition? I got to come to him. That's the condition. If I don't come, then the opposite of that applies. He can't receive me, so I cast myself out. That's really what happens. God doesn't cast me out. He's hoping I'll continue. I'll keep on and keep on and keep on coming. The door's open. Come on, come on. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's trying to bring us to the Father. But if we ourselves do not come, then we cast ourselves out. But if we come, no matter what condition we're in, He receives us. He said, if you come to me, I will in by no means cast you out. I just hear this next verse. This next verse is one of my favorites too, because I hear, when I read it, I hear the voice of God. I hear His great love calling to man. He started in the garden, and when Adam fell, He started there with that call, and He's never stopped. And He never will stop this call. Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me all. Now that leaves none of us out, does it? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause you to rest. He didn't say rest and then come to me. He said, come to me and I will cause you to rest. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. What he's saying, hook up with me. Yoke with me and go where I'm going. I'll carry the load. I'll take care of your life. But you have to come to me. There's no other way. You have to come to him and yoke up with him. That yoke, when you're in that yoke with him, where he goes, you go. He's the strong one here. I'm yoked up. I'm committed to my Father. My love is set upon him, so I'm going where he goes. And he makes the provision as I go. That's so awesome. The enemy will take advantage of your lack of exercising your rights to freedom if you give him the opportunity. If we give Satan the opportunity, he will take our freedom. That's what he wants. He wants us in chains and bondage. That's what he wants. God loves you even if you are not born again. He loves you because you are of the man species in his creation. Satan hates you for the same reason. He hates you because you're the man species. And he's doing everything he can to get you to hell. You have to cooperate with him. Well, don't. There are two things all of us must know. A lot more, but two basic things. God loves you and me, that's number one, and God hates sin and the sinner. He doesn't hate the sinner. Please understand that. He doesn't hate you if you're in sin. He hates the sin, not the sinner. That's why he calls you to him. That's why he says, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. That's good news for the person that's hurting, the person's in all kinds of addictions, the person with family that are in all kinds of bondages and things that are hurting. That's good news. You can tell him, just come to him. He's not going to cast you out. You don't even have to take care of any of your problems. He'll do that. Jesus is asking each of us, along with all who will ever exist, the monumental question that we all must answer. That question is, who do you say that I am? Every person has to answer that question. That's the question you answer on the road of life as you walk from one experience to another, from one thought to another, from one click of the clock to another, from one time of intense fellowship to a time of great hurt, time of great sorrow, time of great joy. You're answering that question each moment of your life. When you're standing in that checkout line, and that person, checkout person, or the person that's being checked out is mean and ornery or slow or whatever. You answer that question when you get upset at that person. When you have strife in your home and you're not doing anything about it and you're unforgiving, you're answering that question, who do you say that I am? Aren't you? Don't you answer that question every time that you get in strife with someone? If I really acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I acknowledge Him as who He is, then I would change my attitude. I would change the way I see other people. I would change my response to those times. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, just the Amplified classic. Now it occurred that as Jesus was praying privately, the disciples were with Him. And He asked them, who do you say that I am? Or who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life. And He said to them, but who do you yourselves say I am? Peter replied, the Christ of God. Notice He didn't even respond to what people thought. He didn't respond, no, I'm not none of those. He didn't say anything about that. He was interested into those that were His people, His apostles. He wanted to know who they said He was. Because that determines the power flowing through your life. It determines His ability to love you. If He asks you, who do you say I am? And you answer that question and you set your love upon Him, then He can flow through you to others. And that's His desire. As we walk along our personal journey to our encounter with the cross, we all must answer this monumental question. Who do you say that I am? We answer this question every moment of our lives by every thought, word, and action. You know, if you're asking why the cross, some people don't know. But if you're asking why the cross, it's a very simple answer. You. The reason for the cross, us, man. That's the whole reason for it. There was no other reason for Jesus to go to the cross. And that's an awesome thought when you think about it, because you realize He's not doing anything else. There really isn't anything else. There really isn't. If you really get down to it, if all of creation was created by God, then there really isn't anything else. There isn't. I can think that my job or my business or my home or my family is everything, and they're not. The only way I can properly take care of them and make them first is to make Him first. When I make God first, then everything else falls in place. And when I do that, then His power and ability flows through them. His protection is over them. The only way I can take care of my family is if I set my love upon Him first. That's it. There's no other way. And really, even if I don't, there still isn't anything else. Because I'm going to come to the cross. All roads of life lead to the cross. All of heaven and earth meet at the cross. Man and God meet at the cross. Time and eternity meet at the cross. There's nothing that doesn't meet there. Everything meets there. That's why I say all roads lead to the cross. Even if I don't believe, I still meet at the cross. Father, we thank You for this time together as we walk on our road together this morning. We thank You for the ability that we have because of Your grace to come to You anytime that we want to. Father, we thank You that the door is wide open, that Your heart is always towards us. But Father, no matter how mean and ornery, how far away we think we are, the door is always open, and Your Son is always saying, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we thank You for those that will come to You during this day. for whatever, however their divine appointment was this day. We thank you for each one of them that are coming to you this moment. We thank you, Father, for the path and the road of life that we are walking on towards our encounter with the cross. We thank you, Father, for this season that we're living in. It's a difficult time, but we know that you are Lord. We know, Father, that you're leading and guiding us through the monumental milestones of our life. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.